I was actually sitting with just a small little group of the leaders this week during, I think, one of the breaks or at some point anyway, and began to ask one of them about their story. I always like to kind of hear the story and background of someone that I really don't know very well. And she made this comment in the midst of it, and she just said, I'm just so thankful for the seeds that have been planted in my life. And she said, in turn, now I'm able to plant those seeds into those younger than me that are in turn. And she was kind of talking about that cycle of ministry that takes place in the kingdom. And Paul put it this way. He said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but who gives the increase? God gives the increase. Amen. So we are laboring, as Paul said it there, we are co-laboring together with God. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will what? Reap what he sows. And then he goes on to talk of sowing to the flesh, we reap destruction. Sow to the spirit, we reap eternal life. Of course, Jesus lived and walked among an agrarian society and culture, and so what did he so often talk about? But he looked out and he talked about the seed and the planting and the reaping and the sowing and the harvesting, etc. It was just part of his vernacular as he would teach many, many of his parables. Well, tonight, I want us to look here at Ecclesiastes 11 and touch on, so far we've looked at how can we not believe, Hebrews 11. How can we not persist in prayer, Elijah and Elisha and Jesus, a couple of his parables. Last week, how can we not serve, as we looked at that unique parable in Luke, and then tonight now Ecclesiastes 11. Verse number 1, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to 7, yes to 8, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. You know, we run a danger sometimes that we think we've got God figured out. But you can never understand how God works. And isn't God an amazing, amazingly abundant, just full of grace and mercy toward us, as was prayed earlier? Verse number 6 then. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Tonight I want to ask the question of how can we not plant seeds? How can we not plant seeds? I was sitting over lunch one day with a group of missionaries, and this has been several years ago now, and one of the just great men that most all of us here may know and love, he's no longer living here in Springfield, but he was sitting at the far end of the table, and he just kind of erupted all of a sudden. We were all talking, but he just out of nowhere just kind of popped up, and he said, "Believe in the seed." And it wasn't quite in the flow of everything, but everybody's attention went his way, and to hear him share that. And then he talked just a little bit about it and realized, of course, that in his heart, he was reflecting back. And we were talking about ministry and what God's doing in the earth and in the world and in missions, etc. But you could sense in him, he was holding on to know he planted seeds in Africa probably half a century ago and is still believing that those seeds are active and that God is still working. And I believe that. And I want to just give you three simple premises here tonight, talk a little bit about each. First of all, believe in the seed. Second, trust the mystery. And third, leave the results to God. And look at it with me if you would. If you have your Bibles open there, I'm going to read it. If you have them open, go ahead and follow along. To believe in the seed, verse 1, verse 4, verse 6. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Verse 4. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap, because they're not planting then. Verse 6, sow your seed in the morning and at evening. Let not your hands be idle. So we have to believe in God's seed. Then trust the mystery. Verse 5, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb. How many know they can't get the weather forecast ever correct in the Ozarks? How many know what I'm talking about? So we can't figure out God in these things. We can't even figure that out, right? But as you don't know these things, so you cannot know the work of God, the maker of all things. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, right? He rides upon the winds, that incredible hymn of a century ago. Then verse 6 then, the third, leave the results then to God. Sow your seed in the morning and in evening, let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. So we end up leaving what we do to God. And in the end, he's going to do his work, and he works it out according to his plan, and we leave results to him. But we have to be faithful to believe in the seed. I've so many times referenced the story of my pastor in high school, and I'm not going to bore you with that, although if you're in any way new tonight, just catch me right afterwards. I'll tell you a little bit more of the story. It's one of my all-time favorite stories. But the bottom line is, the very first funeral that I preside over as a 30-year-old senior pastor, where I didn't quite know what all the protocol was, and I had never really been through that as a youth pastor and at a large church. I just had never been there. Now I'm the guy, and I'm supposed to walk through this funeral. And that very first funeral in 1992 is of the man that I had heard about back in the 1970s as a teenager, which really was the story that went back to 1944. So you're looking at 48 years had passed, and this man that I'm about to lay to rest and try to minister to his wife, Madeline, he is the man that I had heard about 20 years earlier, going all the way back almost 50 years earlier. He led my pastor to Christ. Only God can do things like that. And when she said the words, Harry Hodge, I about fell over right there standing as we talked at the viewing or the visitation that night. That's how God works. I love stories like that. It reminds me of sort of a weaving story I'd like to just share. And if you can follow just with me a bit, it took place over about a 15-year period. But again, the way that God works. One day I'd received a phone call somewhere around about 2005. And it was a conference call with 15 pastors, and the missionary on the phone had a dire financial need right then and really needed some help. Two missionaries were on the phone. Now, stay there at that moment, and let me come all the way back to leaving here in 1983, Springfield, headed out to Arizona in the January of 84. And that's when I met Carla's dad, Carmen, and I've told his story often. And Carmen then had known the Lord about 4 years, so I meet this man, not knowing that I'm going to meet his lovely daughter a little bit later, a few months later. But I meet Carmen. He's already volunteering at the church. He was so passionate for the things of God. He had an office and a desk, and he worked alongside of the college and career pastor. And within a month, the question is asked over breakfast following a prayer meeting like we're going to have Thursday morning. A question was asked, why can't we get our kids, our young people, to give 1 year of their lives to the church the way the Mormons do? Because there are so many Mormons in the Phoenix area. And that is what was the seed that planted then Master's Commission that started in June. So just 6 months after I arrived, he launched it. And of course, that was Carla's dad. Carmen passed away 3 years later, so he had been a believer for seven years. In 1987 is when he died. He was credentialed, memorized 1,000 verses of scripture. He began Master's Commission. It's really all over the world today, still is. And it really made some great impact in the kingdom. It all started, though, through a few seeds. Carla and her sisters got saved in high school, and they, through Campus Crusade for Christ, and they would lay 4 spiritual law booklets out, and Carmen thought they were in a cult. And every time they'd pick one up, and he didn't care for that, or what was his daughters had fallen into. Well, those little tracks laid around, and then the DYD of Arizona moved to Springfield to come here and work next door. And on that move, Carmen was working with Mayflower Movers. He went to the home of this minister and this youth director, and he was a bold soul winner, and he led Carmen to Christ that day. That was 1980. So 7 years, 1987, Carmen passes away. Well, just a couple years after that, about 1990, I went down to El Salvador with a group of college and a few of the Master's Commission kids were there with me. And the missionary at one point pulled me aside. He said, who are some of these kids? And I described who they were and what they were doing. And I just remember his words clear as day. He said to me, I think I can use that. And he began then Master's Commission. Literally from Phoenix first, they drove 2 buses all the way from Phoenix. I mean, old buses, scary school buses that you just paint over and make them look like a nice church bus, you know. They drove them all the way down to El Salvador. How many know that's faith right there? Crazy. And they launched Master's Commission. So that'd be about 1990. Now move forward 12 years, and I took a team to Nicaragua, which is very close to El Salvador there in Latin America, Central America. So about 12 years later, I take a team. I'm with a missionary, and as we're going along, we're riding along, he pointed out some fields, and he said, if I just had a combine, I could harvest the rice off of those fields, and we could do a lot more financially for the work that's here. So we explored it a little bit more, got some details, went back, and the church board said absolutely, and it was only about $5,000 or $6,000. We bought a combine, and then they began to harvest the rice from those fields. So move ahead now a couple more years, and that's the phone call with the missionaries saying we are in dire need in El Salvador of finances, and there's 15 pastors on the phone. Now what he needed was $16,000 that day, because finally I interrupted and just said, well, how much do you need? And he said, 16 grand. That morning, as I had come in, our bookkeeper had said, hey, Jeff, I just want to let you know someone today gave a check for $160,000, and they are wanting to tithe 10% to missions. How many know 10% of 160 is 16? Come on, put it together, okay? So just hours later, I'm on the phone. I hear that number, and I'm thinking, well, I've got it already sitting there, but how many know I wanted all the other pastors to have some blessing? So I kind of sat for a moment on the phone, but yet we were able to call back, and I said, we can meet that whole need or whatever part you need of that. But isn't that cool how God works? The interesting thing was, though, on the phone that day, as he shared, and he's a great missionary, but his voice broke. I mean, he was under dire financial need. And he said, men, I really, we've had to shut down some of our offices. I can't pay our staff. And he said, it's gotten so bad that one of our missionaries in Nicaragua has sent rice over to us to feed our Master's Commission kids in El Salvador. Well, the minute he said that, of course, I called back a few minutes later, said, I think we had those funds for you. By the way, who is that missionary in Nicaragua? And he told me who it was. So the combine that we had bought 3 years earlier was being used to harvest that rice that was being used to bless the Master's Commission program that was being used, that was started 15 years earlier when I was there in about 1990. Do you see how God works? God works in ways that we cannot see. It's like me officiating over the man who led my pastor to Christ 48 years before. Only God can do that. What does Solomon's wisdom tell us? Believe in the seed. Cast your bread on the water. Don't worry about the weather. Don't be looking at the clouds. Plant your seed. Trust the mystery. Leave the results to God. I don't know about you tonight, but I love being just a small part of God's vast kingdom. I love just having our little part of what God is doing in this incredible kingdom of His. It can be difficult, it can be stressful, it can be costly, but it's an exciting thing. I love the reality there is literally a world wide web. You ever hear that? But how many know there is when it comes to the kingdom? And everywhere we go, we just end up seeing how God is doing this and doing that. And it's as if He just keeps working off generations to generations, or He works from person to person. One man's planting, another man is watering, and God is giving the increase. This is the way that God works. And a major part of it is always seed. A man went forth doing what? Scattering seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, look at the fields, they are white unto harvest. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. When it comes to our giving, plant your seed. If you want to sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. Again, how does the kingdom be built? But one man waters, another man plants, another man waters, and God gives the increase. That dear old missionary on the end of the table, believe in the seed. Now, the hard thing for us tonight is that seeds are not the most attractive little things. How many know they don't look anything like the fruit? They're just these little seeds. And they're not real impressive, not very attractive, but they're still the key. Life is housed within them, both in the natural and in the supernatural. The very power of God. How many of you have ever looked at a little boy's lunch and thought, all that is, a couple of fish, a few loaves of bread, that's nothing. Seriously. How many of you ever looked at just a stick, a rod there on the ground and thought, well, all it is a piece of wood. How many of you know when God's in it, those things become supernatural? When God is in the seed, it can look so unimpressive. But when God is in it, he can do incredible things with it. Now think with me tonight, all of you here tonight, the seed that you have planted in your lifetime. And I want to stress tonight, and we always have a little bit of this danger here at Central, because many of you are wonderful, godly people that you pastored, you were missionaries, you were in district leadership, whatever. You were in quote-unquote ministry. But all of us in ministry know all of everyone here is in ministry. We are the priesthood of the believers. So we know everyone here. You have all planted seeds if you have followed the Lord in any way, shape, or form over your whatever last many years or decades. If you shared your faith with anyone, even just planted seeds, dropping seeds, watering seeds of someone else. Every prayer that you've prayed, that was a seed. Every time you encountered someone that was struggling and down and weary, and you'd encourage them and bless them, you have no idea down the road what seeds you planted if you were just faithful to be an encouragement to them. Last week, I found myself constantly trying to encourage those kids. And we had, you know, little basketball players that were all the way down to 6 years of age, up to 11. So they were all different skills and all different places, you know, along the way. But, you know, for all of them, they're still growing. They're still, in, you know, maturing as kids. And so what did we do? All week long, I just kept just trying to rah-rah every one of them and encourage them because they need that. You know, we were planting seeds in kids' hearts. Then we move on into the worship center over at Fusion, and it was wonderful, the program and what Pastor Justin and his leaders and the team did. Seeds were planted into all those kids' hearts. I believe God's word will not return void, but will go forth to accomplish that God has called it to do. Every offering you've given, whether it be a tithe that helps keep the lights on and the electricity paid and the buildings maintained and the staff, I looked around the gym this past week and I thought, what a blessing this building is. Think of the seeds planted this week in classes, in services, in small groups here at Central, all ages. I sat in the class just down over on Commercial Street with Dr. Burby this morning. I looked around, I counted, there were 12 couples there, plus the teacher. So 24 young couples were sitting there in a circle, and Dr. Burby was just teaching incredible stuff for them. I leaned over to the couple next to me, because this is to be for pre-marrieds, barely marrieds, you know, or about to be marrieds, that kind of thing. And I leaned over and said, man, this has been so good this morning. And she said, yeah, that's why we've been here 9 years. So they're not giving up on, they love the class so much. But they kind of get an excuse slip, and we let them do that. Otherwise, they need to get out of there because it's not designed for them, but they love it. But think of the seeds planted into those marriages, and they need that. What's that going to produce? Every offering given, the 2020 vision. Praise God, we are just right about at the halfway mark in the first year, and we're right about at $100,000 toward our $200,000 goal. That means we're right on track. Can you say praise God for that? The Summer Missions Project for Project Rescue. And we thank God for what he's doing through David and Beth Grant. And we'll wrap that up this month. Multiple missionaries that you support, as Carl and I support, we all do, or we give to missions here. And we look at the almost 200 missionaries as a church that we're supporting. That is seed all over the earth. We're planting seed in Project Rescue. We're planting seed in missions. The Camp Scholarship Fund. How many of you were blessed when you went to camp as a child? Let me see your hand. And you look back and think, God did some things in my heart. Many, many of us here tonight. Many of you gave into that offering. Thank you. We just make a light appeal. The offering goes forth. Justin and Fusion, they split it up and divide, and then the kids go to camp. If you invested in it, you planted seed in someone. The One Day to Feed the Poor, Convoy of Hope, what Pastor David uses here locally and then all over the world as we give to Convoy. We're planting seed. On and on and on it goes. What's the key with the seed? It's to believe in it, trust the mystery, and leave the results to God. But how does it work? What's the key to that? Well, then we have to do a few more things. We have to be faithful to plant. You notice that. Solomon covers that. Don't look up to the wind and don't look up at the clouds. Say, well, I don't know about today. He says, be casting your bread upon the waters, for it'll come back to you. Do it in portions 7 or 8. It's going to come back to you. Don't be disturbed by what you see. You keep on being faithful. Faithful to plant. Why? Because if you only hold that seed in your hand, it will not produce anything. But if you take that seed and you plant it in the earth, God will do his mysterious, wonderful work with it. So be faithful to plant. Second, be patient to wait. This is where it gets hard for us sometimes. Matter of fact, Lance tonight mentioned about prayer. And when we pray for prodigals, when we pray for different ones, how many sometimes get a little impatient because God's not answering your prayer? But you know what? We have to be faithful. Seeds grow at different rates. And you don't know what else God is doing. So we plant, we're faithful to do our part, and then we wait for God to do his. And sometimes that can be painful, can't it? James chapter 5, what did he say? He said that farmer waits. In the same way the farmer waits, we are waiting, looking forward to the Lord soon coming. I believe Jesus is coming back. How about you? I'd like for him to come back right before the American election in 2016. Come on back, Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? Just as you're, oh, let's move on. Now we're meddling. Let's move on. And last, to be prayerful to believe. Be patient to wait, but prayerful to believe that God is working. That God is working. That's part of endurance. Because cast your bread upon the waters, for it's going to come back to you. If the clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you don't know the path of the wind or how the body's formed, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed. It's just the mystery of how God works. I love a story told by Geraldine Asplund Edwards. I'd like to read it to you. Several times my daughter had telephoned to say, Mom, you just have to come and see the daffodils before they're over. And I wanted to go, but it was a two-hour drive from Laguna to Lake Arrowhead. I'll come next Tuesday, I promised, a little reluctantly on her third call. Next Tuesday dawned cold and rainy, and still I had promised, so I drove there. When I finally walked into Carolyn's house and hugged and greeted my grandchildren, I said, forget the daffodils, Carolyn. The road is invisible in clouds of fog, and there is nothing in the world except you and these children that I want to see bad enough to drive another inch. My daughter smiled calmly and said, we drive in this all the time, Mother. Well, she said, you won't get me back on the road until it clears, and then I'm headed for home. I was hoping you'd take me over to the garage to pick up my car. How far will that be? Just a few blocks, her daughter said. I'll drive. I'm used to this. So after a few minutes in the fog, I had asked, where are we going? This isn't the way to the garage. We're going to the garage the long way, Carolyn smiled, by the way of the daffodils. Carolyn, I said sternly, please turn around. It's all right, Mother, I promise. You will never forgive yourself if you miss this experience. After about 20 minutes, we turned onto a small gravel road, and I saw a little church. On the far side of the church, I saw a hand-lettered sign that read, Daffodil Garden. We got out of the car and each took a child's hand, and I followed Carolyn down the path. Then we turned a corner of the path, and I looked up and gasped. Before me lay the most glorious sight. It looked as though someone had taken a great vat of gold and poured it down over the mountain peak and slopes. The flowers were planted in majestic swirling patterns, great ribbons and swaths of deep orange, white, lemon yellow, salmon pink, saffron, and butter yellow. Each different colored variety was planted as a group so that it swirled and flowered like its own river with its own unique hue. There were 5 acres of flowers. But who has done this? I asked Carolyn. It's just one woman, she said. She lives on the property. That's her home. Carolyn pointed to a well-kept A-frame house that looked small and modest in the midst of all that glory. We walked up to the house on the patio, and we saw a poster. Answers to the questions I know that you are asking. 50,000 bulbs, one at a time by one woman. 2 hands, 2 feet, and 1 very little brain. Began in 1958. How many know it all begins with seed? The principle of the seed. 3 years ago, I went to Haiti with a group of 12 pastors. And I know a couple of these stories I've already shared before, I believe. I don't know if I've shared this one or not. I was sitting on the end of the table, and the other end was Jeff Swain from Central here and Convoy of Hope, and he does such a great job with these kind of trips. I was sitting around the table. It was the opening night. We're just getting to know one another, about six guys on both sides then, six, seven on both sides. And the one right to the right of me got up and left and went somewhere, and the one two over then slid over into his seat, and he just said to me, Jeff, you and I have something in common. I said, oh, we do? He said, yeah, Rock Falls, Illinois. And I spent the summer of my sophomore year, that summer from CBC, I went up and worked in that church for that summer. So I said, who are you? He said, do you remember me? I'm Phil Anderson. And I didn't remember him, but I remembered his name. And he went on to share just a little bit. And he said, in the end, he said, Jeff, I'm in ministry today because of you, because of that summer. He said, matter of fact, remember my brother? And I don't remember his name now. He said, he's a DYD, and I don't remember what district, but he's leading now the youth in the district. He said, he's in ministry today because of you. Now, I don't say that for my own glory tonight, but I tell you what, those moments make it all so worthwhile. All I did was plant about 12 weeks of seed. You know what I did? I just ran around and had fun, and I got paid for it. I thought that's what ministry was all about. I later learned a little different. But that summer, really, as many times interns do, I just really kind of served here in VBS and did what I could do here. But mainly, I just hung out with Phil and his brother. I put my arm around Joe in a tent meeting with Randy Stonehill. A few of you may remember that musician. Put my arm around Joe and said, Joe, are you ready to accept Jesus? He said, yes, I am. Tears streaming down his cheeks. He ended up coming to CBC a few years later. Led Joe to Christ. Steve Rios was another young man. I just ran around, just buddied up with those guys. But two of them are in ministry today as a result of just planting some seed. Just planting seed. I want us to concentrate as we close in prayer tonight from your seats on areas of planting seed. And there's so many I know that we could do. But I've got a few here that I've chosen. I'd like for us to put them on the screen if they have them available. Do you have these ready? Great. I'd like us to spend a few minutes just praying together over Central Assembly, our services and our ministries and our generations, thinking about seeds. Can we do that? I'd like us to pray for prodigals. How many of you know someone that has seed in them, but they are not serving the Lord, but you'd love to see that seed germinate and grow? Absolutely. That's the key to a prodigal. Lord, water that seed and just keep bringing more seed in. Missions giving worldwide. I'd like us to pray tonight as we close over the seed that we are planting, many of you personally and we collectively as a body. Our past, our own past ministries, many of you here, that you planted seed, you planted seed, you planted seed. I'd love for you to proclaim like that great missionary did at the end of the table and just believe that God is using the seeds you planted, Barbara, years and decades ago. It's still working because it's active. It's the word of God. And so for us to pray over our own past ministries through the years. Our community engagement and generosity with Pastor David's leadership to pray over those seeds in our community and also for current personal strategic planting. And that being for every single one of you here tonight, me included, that we close praying, God, help me be strategic, help me be planting seed. Because how many know we ought to be working the harvest all the way until the trumpet sounds or the Lord takes us home. We keep working. We keep working. Amen? While it is yet day, we work. So can we stand together tonight? Father, we lift up Central Assembly to you. God, we pray over the seeds that go out every service that we have. Seeds that were scattered today, Lord, this morning. We pray, God, over every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Lord. Especially, though, Lord, at our Sunday morning times, may the seed that is planted, may it be anointed by you, blessed by you, God. And we pray that you would just bless the seeds and you bring the harvest, God. You bring the harvest. May we be faithful, though, to plant the seeds through the service times. As well, Lord, we pray over ministries, every Sunday school class, every small group, our youth ministry, our children's ministry, our senior adult ministries, all the generations, all the ages, Father. We pray for seeds that are being planted, that you would bless them, Lord. We look at these little children this week at Mega Sports Camp. Many of them, Lord, as mentioned earlier, they're from broken homes. They're going through difficult times. Father, we pray that you would bless every seed that is planted in their little hearts. And you'd water that seed and bring forth the harvest, we ask, in Jesus' name. And Lord, tonight on this Sunday night, I am so grateful for these that are seniors, many of them here tonight. They're of the next generation ahead of me, Lord. I pray, God, that from their generation to my generation to my generation to the generation of my children, Lord, all the way, Lord, to the littlest of children in this church, Lord, we pray for generational seed planting and watering and harvesting to take place right here at Central Assembly, Lord. Help us, God. Bless the seeds that's planted in our nursery, in our preschool. Bless the elementary age, Lord. Bless our youth, college, young families like that class today. Oh, Lord, bless all the seed being planted in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up now all of our prodigals, and there are so many, God. Many represented right here, our sons and daughters, our grandsons and granddaughters. Father, we ask that the seeds that were planted in their hearts, that they would burst forth with life. We pray, Lord, that be like a burgeoning, Lord, that a little water would be added this week, Lord, wherever they may be, halfway around the world or halfway around our nation. Lord, we ask you to send harvesters to bring them home, Lord, and may prodigals return to you because of your seed, Lord. We don't know how you work, but Lord, we love it when a prodigal comes home and you, Father, run down the road and throw your arms around them and say, go kill the fatted calf. Lord, we pray that a lot of calves will be killed, Lord. A lot of parties will be thrown in heaven, Lord. Angels will rejoice as you bring home prodigals. Bless your seed. Bless the seed planted. We ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we also pray tonight for missions. And Lord, all of us here, we are active in giving to missions, Lord, above and beyond our tithe. Lord, would you bless the missions of Central? Would you bless the $1 million+ that we give every year to missions? And Lord, it's not a matter of a mark of a dollar. God, would you bless the seed that's going forth? Bless the seed, Lord. And I pray for those that are faithful to give, Lord, that if they give generously, may they reap generously, Lord. And I pray you'd bless our seed. God, bless the seed that goes forth, and these missionaries that we pray for week in, week out. Oh God, bless them as they are planting seed, Lord. Even as tonight, we prayed for a Chi Alpha group, Lord, on a great university in California. Lord, bless the seeds, we pray. Our own past ministries, God, every one of us here, whether it be a year old, whether it be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, some year 50, more years, Lord, we just pray all the past seeds that we planted. Lord, we ask you to bring forth the harvest. God, we ask you to water those seeds. They are still active. They're still working around the world. Many in missions here, God, that planted for years. I think of Don and Deborah, Lord, for 30-some years in Africa. Lord, we thank you for all those seeds that were planted. Bring the harvest, we pray, in Jesus' name. And water the seeds that we've given. Water the seeds, Lord. They that go forth sowing in tears shall reap with joy. May it be the case, we ask, in Jesus' name. Lord, I see Brother and Sister Lednicki here tonight, and I think of what they planted in students at CBC for so many years. Lord, bless every seed planted through their ministry and those that came before them, the predecessors at Central Bible College, all of our schools. That evangel right here, God. Oh, we pray for seeds that you'd bless them for your glory, Lord. Father, Pastor Dave is doing such a great job with community engagement. And Lord, the generosity of this church, Lord, we think about our gifts for children. We think about our food pantry, as Spud prayed earlier, Lord, and our oil change ministry, and all the various ways, Lord, that David and Anthony and others are working. Father, we pray for every seed planted in Springfield, in Zone 1, especially around our community. God, we ask you to bless those seeds. Do your work, Lord, in your mysterious way. Do your work, but we offer our seed to you tonight, God. Pray you'll bless it around our community, Jesus. We also pray in closing, Lord, for every one of us here, God, may we be strategic in what we do, whether it be our neighborhood, whether it be our community, whether it be our giving, our finances. Oh, God, may all of us right now, Lord, just commit ourselves to you. Give us strategic, personal planning in our hearts and lives, Lord, as we plant seed as we plant seed, as we plant seed, Lord. Maybe leave here tonight. We might plant seed at a come and go tonight as we get gas, Lord. And we might plant seed tomorrow as we encounter someone, Lord, in our neighborhood or someone in our workplace, Lord. Help us to be strategic, Lord, about it. Lay it upon our hearts, God. Everywhere that we go, Lord, may we plant seed. And may we know as well, we may be watering the seed that others have planted. But Lord, you are the Lord of the harvest. So we acknowledge you as Lord of the harvest. And we believe in the seed. We trust your amazing, marvelous ways, Lord. And we commit it to you, all the results, Lord Jesus. We commit it to you. And as we close in prayer tonight, Lord, we also know every prayer that we pray. I think of dear Dan Saglambini over here, a list that he prays every single day, meticulously praying through his list. Father, we pray you will take every prayer we pray as seed. We know, Lord, your word says that there's that great bowl of incense around your throne in heaven. And so, Lord, you save our prayers. They're in that bowl. So, God, we don't understand it, but may we be faithful to plant seeds this week in prayer and intercession, Lord. And even as we have tonight, God, may we be faithful daily to pray, to pray, to pray without ceasing, because you take those seeds and you use them for your glory. We love you and we praise you, Lord of the harvest. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus.